This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hey, Giant fans, welcome to the Giant Insider podcast. My name is Jerry Foley. I'm the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper, and with me, as always, is the beat writer, the heart of Giants Nation. Nobody beats the biz, Chris Bisignano. Chris, before we get started...
Hey, Jerry, let's clear up one thing first. Yes. I was scanning through the questions before. I was taking my walk, and I know this is Podcast Friday, and I'm looking at some questions that might be coming up. I see somebody ask the comment, I don't know if you're even going to get to it, but about do I think I'm the best beat guy out there because you say nobody beats the biz? So let's clear this up for this puzzling question. It started, folks, with nobody beats the biz when Bob Papa introduced me on his podcast with Banks because, for people who don't remember or too young or whatever it is, back in the day, there was a famous commercial that said, nobody beats the Wiz. Right. Jerry, you know about it. You know, maybe some of our younger people aren't too familiar with that. The old store, what was it, appliance store, right, Jerry? Electronics, appliance store back in the day.
Yep.
And that was a famous commercial. The guy was famous who did the commercial. It was nobody beats the Wiz. So Bob Papa jokingly said, hey, nobody beats the biz. Right. And then Jerry just picked up and ran with it and says, hey, nobody beats the biz.
Yes.
It has nothing to do with me saying to Jerry on a text a year ago, said, hey, Jerry, I think I'm the greatest. Please introduce me as nobody beats the biz, okay?
You know, Chris is actually a lot like Joe DiMaggio in that Joe DiMaggio would insist on being called the greatest living ball player. Chris actually texts me before and says, please say nobody beats the biz. I'm kidding, of course, but yeah.
Right. Yeah, just clarify that, Jerry, because there's people on social media like who like to act like, you know, like they either don't know or you know, whatever, but just to clarify that for people who actually ask that question.
I mean, God forbid, Chris, it's like using an emoji.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. I know some people are very serious about the emoji, you know, thinking I was like, oh, look at this idiot that died at 26. I mean,
Let me say something real quick, because I was going to tweet something, and Ben, a follow of ours, kind of covered it, but it's still in the drafts, actually. Guys, if you get that upset over an emoji, I'd consider you lucky because your life must be pretty good. Otherwise, you are just, a soft millennial, whatever is what it is. Obviously I saw that question. I was going to ask it just because you could bring up nobody beats.
So let's clarify that for people out there, Jerry. That's the story behind nobody beats the biz.
Right.
No, it has nothing to do with me saying, Jerry, introduce me like I'm Joe DiMaggio of the Giant beat writers. You know what I mean?
The greatest living beat writer.
Let's move on. What do you got there, Foley?
So I got a funny story for you before we get started and talk about some things. So I go to a heart doctor every 6 months, Dr. Fox of Hamilton Cardiology.
It's just because of all the Giants losing?
That contributes to it, sure.
Okay,
right. The Rangers didn't help getting that far. I'm almost better off if the Rangers don't make the playoffs. My blood pressure doesn't go to lethal levels. But Dr. Fox has been keeping me alive like Darth Vader, if you will, for the last, 8 to 10 years. Does a great job. And I go in there yesterday, and he just starts talking Giants. Now, he's a Rangers, Giants, Mets fan. So I could talk 2 out of 3, and even the Mets I don't hate, so I'll talk baseball with him. He's a really nice guy. He's a little younger than me, I think. And he goes, my son is really into the Giants. Now, this story is an example of how Chris's experiences are usually 180 degrees different from mine, right? When he sees people, they literally run them off the road to meet them, stop at Dunkin' Donuts, jump on them, whatever. So Dr. Fox says, my son is really into the Giants now, and he's asking me questions all the time. And I said, oh, great. And he's a young kid. I don't know how old he is, but he said he's starting to get into social media. So I'm thinking, all right, well, he's going to bring up podcast and all. And he goes, he really loves, and I just stared at him, and he goes, that big blue VCR, he's great, isn't he? And I go, yeah, he's really good. He goes, so what's your podcast called again? And I think I told him 700 times, but he goes, oh yeah, I think my dad listens to you. But anyway, his son Aaron is going to start listening, and he goes, you guys don't curse, do you? And I said, well, we say shit sometimes. And he's like, that's fine. Just, don't leave out the big ones and it'll be fine. So Aaron,
we don't do the big ones.
Right. Aaron, Dr. Fox, if you're listening, welcome to the podcast and thanks for all the work you do, keeping my blood pressure at human being levels. I really appreciate it. So anyway, That's all I
know. Of course, Doctor, on September 11th, if Jones throws an early pick, Foley might be in during a week. You know,
that's right.
Get a heart checkup. The Giants go down, and Daniel doesn't look pretty good opening night. So,
right. Yes. Exactly.
He actually said
that to me once. He goes, I realize the Giants don't help. So, anyway, because we usually talk sports for about 10 minutes before he checks on me. So, anyway.
There you go. Doctor. Good job, Doc. You know, keep an eye on Foley there, you know, because the season's right around the corner.
And he felt the same way I did about the Rangers. Like, they were close, and he actually got COVID game 3 in the middle of it. And he said since then, everything went downhill for him. So he got COVID, and then the Rangers lost. So he apologized
to me. At least he's not blaming Dable, you know?
Right. But he apologized to me about it. So I said, it's all right, man. It's okay. So anyway, buddy.
So, Jerry, look, training camp's a month away, basically, right? A little over a month. Today's the 24th, and training camp starts the 26th, I believe, 27th. Yeah. So here we are, a month away, and the Giants announced today, I put it on Twitter a little while ago, there will be 11 open practices to the public, and that's a lot, Jerry. You know, that's a lot. Mara's happy to get the fans back in at Quest, you know, to see Dable and Joe Shane and the whole new regime and the football team and Thibodeau and all guys like that. In front of them, you know, they're back, you know. So obviously, we know what's happened the last few years. And Mara wanted to get a lot of dates in. He did. Yeah. Some teams have 5-6 dates. Some teams have few. Some teams have 9-10. John Mara went with 11, which is a lot, you know, which is a lot. And he even went on the first day of camp, you know.
Right.
Because we got our schedule about the training camp practices today. And, the first day of camp, you could be right there. You know, you just reserve tickets. You got to go to Giants.com, and everything is free. They're going to have a fan fest again, which went over huge last year, Jerry, at MetLife.
And that's funny because somebody asked that question, so I'm glad you're getting into this a little bit.
Okay, so, that's going to be a little inner squad game, practice, scrimmage too, blue and white. A little fireworks afterwards. Giants, a lot of former Giants will be there for autographs.
Yeah.
And all that. So it's a Friday night in August. Excuse me, should be hopefully a beautiful night, and that should be a fun. That went over big last year, and I'm sure Jerry, with the enthusiasm, that's surrounding this team right now. That's going to be a huge night too for the fans. I'm just hoping, you know, I'm allowed to stand on the sideline again in the stadium like we did last year, that which was good. So we'll see what Dable does with us. So
seems like he'd be cooler than Judge no matter what with that. No, like, you know, it's not as. You know, Judge was fine with that, but it seems like David wouldn't care, I would imagine.
We'll see. Training camp, if we're back on along the sideline watching the practices, or we're back on the patio. So, we were both at the OTAs. Some days we're on the sidelines, and some days we're on the patio. So we'll see what David does. Hopefully, you know, he does a Pat Sherman. He lets us, you know, stand on the sidelines right there during practice. We'll see.
Yeah.
So, so that should be the fans. I hope to see, like, I hope to see a lot of the followers, Jerry, you know, out there. And if we're on the sidelines during these training camp practices, I get to see a lot of people because, you know, the open practices, the fans will be right behind us, you know, in the bleachers and all that, Jerry. If we're on the patio, then no, obviously not. So that will be determined, as they say, in a month or so. So a lot of practices for people to see their team, bro. You know, and I think it's great. You know, it's been a long 2 years, buddy. As you know, it's been a long 2 years with the pandemic. Excuse me. And I think a little normalcy, you know, people coming back and seeing it in person. And
so,
it should be
it's
a lot
a really
of fun,
good point, dude. You know, you're getting over the pandemic and people coming back. And there is, like we keep talking about it, there is excitement around this team. So to come see these guys and see how Dable operates a practice and how Jones looks, how the line looks. It's going to be a lot of fun, man. It's becoming an exciting time. It feels like, I don't want to say it because I'm going to jinx it, but it feels like we're turning the corner of, you know, the last 10 years, God willing, where you're hoping for the best every year and, you know, in the back of your mind, like, I don't know if this is going to work. So hopefully, you know, aside from the Giants getting better, but like you said, the return to normalcy a bit. I'm happy for Giants. Giant fans are the best, you know, they're, you talk to a Giants fan anywhere, and they tell you, show you how passionate they are, and they tell you, you don't have to, you can sense it, and they deserve it. So I'm happy for them.
Yeah, and folks, when you are at that first practice behind the gate there in the bleachers, wait till you see Evan Neal up close. That's all I'm going to say. Wait till you see him up close, because like we talked about in the last podcast, and I even wrote a little something on it for the next Giant Insider issue. You know, this kid is like a building that's walking around. You know, he is a one big boy, man. So I think people are going to be like, whoa, my God, look at the size of him. You know,
and I've said it before, but he just seems to carry it so much better. It's like, it's got to be the thinnest 320, 340 I've ever seen, dude.
I mean, Jerry, it's like when you see him up close, like, nah, this dude can't move, you know? but he looks like you said, Jerry, he's 345, whatever he is, 335. And you look at him and go, nah, he's got to be 315. You know, he's like, he has that type. But he isn't, you know.
And that's what, and that reminds me of when I saw Jumbo Elliott years ago at training camp. I was like, Jumbo Elliott's not a fat guy. He's a monster. He's not like, you know, he doesn't have the big belly hanging over. He's just a huge man. And that's what I think of when I see Neal.
Yeah, yeah. And God bless Jumbo. He was unbelievable for us. But Neal is, I mean, just quicker, way quicker. But that's today's athlete. Today's athletes are incredible. So, now we can only hope Evan is half as good as Jumbo, right? I mean, Jumbo was unbelievable for the Giants, you know. Yeah. So Jerry, so a lot of exciting times, bro. Time's flying, dude. You know, here we are, you know, end of June, month away. You know, Jerry, kind of leads me to training camp a little bit. It's something I want to talk about. I'm interested to get your thoughts on this, you know, about what are some of the things you're looking for, Jerry, as we enter camp. You know, a month away, as we're about to go into camp, and I ask you, Jerry, like, you know, Jerry, you know, what's the theme? Like, what's your theme for this training camp? What is it that you are going to be looking for the first few weeks with this team? What unit it might be, coaching staff, coaches, what player? You know, Jerry, right off the bat, say, let's fast forward, dude. We jump into the time machine here with Michael J. Fox a little bit. We're at July 27th at 10 o'clock, Jerry, you know? Yeah. And you say to yourself, I said, Jerry, you know, what are you going to be looking for the first week, first few weeks? Tell me.
So I hop in the DeLorean, and we're at July 27th. My first thought is, what does Jones look like? And that's an easy one. Okay. But for me, that is what this all rides on. What is Jones doing? Is he, you know, he has the propensity to stare down a receiver. Does he look comfortable with the offense? What kind of throws is he making? For me, he is priority numero uno for me. Now, I know you can make the argument about the O-line. Saquon, fine. Yes, all things considered. For me, it's what does our quarterback that we have a major decision on at the end of the year look like in this offense?
Right, and that's very good because you know what, Jerry? We're not going to get a real feel of the offensive line until they start playing opponents.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
But Daniel Jones in this offense, what he's doing during practice, you could get, you know, obviously a feel. Hey, how's he look? What's he doing? Is he learning? Is, you know. So, Jerry, I'm with you on that, bro. You know, as I head into training camp next month, what I'll be looking for the first few weeks, probably, you know what, Jerry? Probably through the training camp, bro.
Yeah.
And preseason games right up until we head to Nashville, you know. So, yeah. I'm going to be looking for how is this offense under Mike Kafka and Brian Daboll and, of course, Shea Tierney, the quarterback's coach for Daniel. How are they shaping this offense? And, you know, how is it gearing towards Daniel Jones?
Right.
You know, that's what I'm going to be looking for.
Yeah.
And, of course, we're not going to get answers to that, Jerry, the first week, 2 weeks. But as I've seen in OTAs and the mandatory camp, you start getting a feel of what they're doing, right? How they're going, and now you're going to really get a feel starting July 27th of what the hell they're thinking and how they're going to shape this offense. So, to me, Jerry, obviously Wink and the way he's going to be aggressive and the way they're going, that's going to be a no question. You know, that's going to be like, oh, I can't. You know, people, you know, man, when you come to the practices, you're going to be looking at Wink and you're going to be seeing a lot of different things in his defense and what they're doing, especially watching for my boy. Xavier McKinney and what he's doing out there. I've seen flashes of that already, and obviously we're going to see that in camp. But yeah, Jerry, the offense with Daniel and how they shape it, what they're going to do when these games start in September, to me, that's the main theme. I want to see what Mike Kafka, Brian Daboll, what they have in store for these receivers, even the tight ends, and of course them, you know, that little running back they named Saquon Barkley that's going to be in the backfield this year, and what they're going to do, Jerry, and that just isn't like, okay, you know, let's just look at them on their 20 and, oh, what are they going to do here, first and 10, that's everything, that's hurry up offense,
yeah,
that's 2 minute offense, and most importantly to me, Jerry,
say it,
the red zone,
yes,
offense.
There it is, boom, yes.
You know, and that includes high red, yeah, and low red. And, yeah, and I'm curious, you know, look, we've talked about it. I've described what I've been seeing, what I did see, I should say, you know, back in the OTAs and minicamp, flashes of what I've seen in this and that. And obviously you're going to be seeing a lot of it, but that's, I want to see, Jerry, right there, how this shapes up. That's going to be my main focal point, you know, in training camp the first few weeks up into that first New England game, that preseason game and all that, and then so I want to see with Daniel and what they're doing to help him and to tailor his game to what they like to do. So
yeah,
that's what I'm looking at, dude.
Yeah, the defensive side, Chris, to me is like such a bonus. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing that, especially based on everything you're telling me, right? And how aggressive Martindale,
sure,
is. And we talked about,
yeah,
this, dude. There's going to be times where you're like, oh, Wink, why did you blitz there? Oh, my God, you left him on an island. But it's going to be the more exciting portion of this team. For mm-hmm. me, you know, the concern going in is, well, how is Daniel going to look in this offense? Now, it's going to be a very quarterback-friendly offense. They're going to play to his strengths, God willing. And does he look comfortable? Are we seeing mm-hmm. things like, you know, you did the other day, the shuffle pass at the goal line that Andy Reid always calls,
yeah,
it seems to,
yeah,
work,
right,
every time.
Right.
Like, will you see that? And you're
right,
going to tell me, like, within 2 days, I know it, second day of camp, either Jones looks pretty good or here we go again with the inconsistency, you know, or you're going to just, you know, you're going to see that right away. Like you said, the offensive line, you got to kind of wait till the season starts, or at least preseason, to get a sense of that and say, okay, these guys are holding up a bit. But Jones, I think you're going to be able to see it pretty quickly. And that's why I said I'm going to go to him first. But you brought up the other guy, Saquon. And I promise not to get on you if there are no wheel routes. But I'm on board with his revenge tour. And I cannot wait. I am so bullish on this offense, and it scares me because I don't want to set myself up for disappointment. But I'm just looking like, if the offensive line holds up, and Jones is competent, we're getting extra guys this year. Like, Tony feels extra to me. The return of Saquon being healthy feels extra, aside from getting Neal and Thibodeau. Like, it's almost like these guys are coming back, and, you know, I know Saquon played last year, and I know Tony played sparingly last year, but it just feels like, it almost feels like they're new additions to the team to me. And then you get Robinson in there. It's just, it just feels like it's going to be exciting. But I'm much more concerned with, obviously, the offense. I'm ecstatic about what Martindale's going to do, and with some of the talent that we have on defense. So,
right.
Again, man, it's I'm all over the place with this because I do feel like we can be more than competitive. But it's going to come down to what does Jones look like, I think.
Right, and that's going to be up to Dable and Kafka, Jerry, to, you know, do what he does best.
Yeah.
Right. And look, Dable talked about it numerous times. He wants Daniel to be aggressive. Okay. Mm-hmm. And he wants him to be aggressive in practices. And he wants him to, Dable feels that he was a little too tentative at times.
Yeah.
Okay. Over the years. He wants him to sling a little bit. Now, that's not mm-hmm. reckless football, but he wants him to be aggressive. Okay. So if he throws a interception in a tight window in practice, Dable's not going to have a problem with it. They're going to learn from it. Okay, now there was an OTA, I forget which one I was at, where Daniel missed the guy by 30 feet, overthrowing the guy, and I think Zay had the interception. Somebody had the interception, you know, and I put it out there because it was a type of situation where a third-year guy, a fourth-year guy, what am I talking about? Right, Jerry, was he 4 years now, Daniel? A fourth-year guy,
yeah, fourth year,
can't make that throw. And that's why, you know, I put it out there, and I'm going to be doing that in camp.
Yeah.
Daniel makes great throws. Hey, Daniel, hit this guy. Great zip, nice tight window.
Right.
If Daniel makes some bad throws, now, what I mean by bad interception, bad throw, if I put something on Twitter, folks, like, oh, bad overthrow by Daniel, that can't happen. Mm-hmm. You know, it can't be like, oh, why are you picking on Daniel? No, I'm just, you know, you're reporting what you're seeing. And when a fourth-year quarterback makes a bad decision, now, not an aggressive bad decision, a bad decision, you know, it has to be reported. You know, people want to know what the hell's going on, you know. So hopefully I don't tweet that too much. But these were still some of the things Daniel did in the OTAs that hopefully, you know, under the system as he learns it more. You know, and Jerry, let me tell you something, brother. There's nobody rooting harder for Daniel Jones than me. And I know you too, dude. I know you love him too, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, just that, you know what, Jerry? You know, I know you love him too. Just that the only benefit I have is that I'm next to him all the time.
Right.
I'm with him. You know, we're at the presses. I see him. You know, we talk. Sometimes we'll whisper some things on the side as he's walking away. I love the kid, bro.
Yeah.
There was nobody, Jerry, I'm pulling harder for than Daniel.
Yeah.
I absolutely love the kid, bro.
Yeah.
But a business, like, you know, like we used to say back in the day, business is business.
Yeah.
You know, you have to produce. And I hope he does. And I hope the system helps him produce because they're going to do everything in their power, Kafka and Dable. You know, and even Joe, Shane, you know, adds a receiver, one of the best SEC receivers in the game last year, makes him a second-round pick, you know, gets him another weapon.
Yep.
Saquon, hopefully going to be a big part of this, you know, and all that. Gets him a tackle, gets him a solid right guard, you know, and all that, Jerry. And this was all part of the plan of, let's, like John Mara said, let's stop screwing up this kid, you know?
Right.
You know, we screwed this kid for 3 years, you know?
Yeah.
Like I said, Jerry, I mean, Daniel Jones... Dude, I'm hoping he's the face of this franchise.
Right.
Like Eli was for years to come, bro. I really am because the kid is... Dude, he's a giant, bro. He's a giant. This is what you want out of this organization. He's a class act.
Yeah.
Nobody works harder. He's a great freaking... Sorry, doctor. He's a great kid. he's a great kid. And, you know, but you have to produce, Jerry. And it starts July 27th, bro.
Yeah.
You know, and then hopefully he carries into Tennessee, man.
All good points, dude. And you kind of brought it up. I think the other part of this excitement, you know, I don't always want to crap on the old regime, but when they hired Jason Garrett, 80% of Giant fans, and I that may be higher than 80, but I'll say 80, 4 out of 5 Giant fans were like, no, why? Like, that's not exciting at all. There's nothing exciting.
Yeah, there wasn't much
And
excitement.
He was a gentleman to you, Chris. He was a nice guy.
Oh, he's a great guy, Jason.
But the move was like, all right, we're starting off with this offense, and we're going to hire a new coach to run Jason Garrett's offense. Great. Dallas laughed at us. They hated it. They couldn't stand his offense. Mm. So bringing in Kafka with Dable, combining what Kansas City does with the wrinkles that Buffalo's going to bring in, that's part of it too, man. Like, that's why I think it's more exciting than... You know, even 2 years ago when we brought in Judge and said, all right, we like Joe Judge, we think. But, man, that Jason Garrett. Oh, and he brought – oh, Freddie Kitchens, huh? Okay. Like, we're hearing names like, these names don't get me very excited. And, okay, this offense is going to work now. So I think that the coaching aspect is part of it where that's definitely part of the excitement for me, dude. But,
oh, you know, absolutely.
And you brought up Jones, dude. The comparison I was going to make is, like, talk about rooting for a guy that, you know – fans get on, like, no better example of that than Evan Engram the last couple of years. Like, great kid. You have to tweet what's happening in practice. Oh, Engram dropped one. Like, you're not rooting for that. It's just you're reporting it. If you're rooting for Engram, my God, we're pulling for Jones. He's a class act, like you said. You hope he's the guy. Yep. It's just that's why it all comes down to him, dude. It really does for me.
Yeah. And look, if anybody... I don't want to give away my next article, my next column too much, but if anybody knows it's do or die, it's Daniel, okay? Mm. Daniel knows this is it. You know, everybody knows this is it, you know? You know, there's no question about it, you know? And no matter, you know, what Joe Shane and Brian Dable, they all talk glowingly about him, you know?
Yeah.
But, of course, they're looking at it like, this is it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're going to see what we have in this kid. And then we're going to move on if it doesn't work out. So
one of the things you said before where Dable wants him to be aggressive remind me of the America's game of the 86 Giants when Sims is going into the Viking game And Parcells says, look, we just beat our division opponents. Go out there and wing it. I don't care if you throw five interceptions today. And I, like, you don't want that, but I love that attitude way more than we're going to be very careful. We're
going to. That's what Dable, Jerry, that's what, you know, Jerry, this coaching staff that they hired.
Yeah.
You know, Dable, Wink, all of them.
Yeah.
You know, we all know how conservative Judge was at times. Let's face it. We were punting around midfield, and you know, there was so many times we were like, come on, dude, you're 3-9. Go for it. You know, remember Jerry?
Right.
So,
yes.
And he was playing it to the, you know, to the vest, and like they were 9-3, and you know, and you know, basically overall it was, you know, conservative. You know, and there was nothing more conservative than those quarterback sneaks inside the five. I mean, that was unheard of, right? So, but dude, this coaching staff here, the mindset around the facility is aggressive, aggressive, aggressive.
Yeah.
We all know Wink. Right? I mean, we all know his defenses, and he already shown it this offseason program. It's going to be aggressive, aggressive, aggressive. And if I go down in flames aggressive, I go down in flames aggressive. But, and then Dable, you see what he did in Buffalo.
Yeah.
You know, once they traded for Diggs and Josh Allen took his game to the next level, you know, everything was aggressive, 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 Jerry. And, you know, I'm just going to give a little quick thing to it, and we're going to talk about it once I start seeing, you know, what they're doing on team drills and sevens in training camp. But Daniel Jones is going to run the ball, dude. Yeah, he's going to have designed runs.
Good.
I think even, you know, I know Dable talked about it. Well, we're going to see how much he runs as the season moves along. We don't want to this and that. But, dude, I saw it numerous times, design runs.
Right.
Because I tell you what, Jerry.
Yeah.
And I said this 100 times. Mm-hmm. You don't realize how fast Daniel is, dude,
right,
until he's in front of you.
Right.
And I told you that, Jerry, when he was a rookie. I said, dude, remember, Jerry, I used to text you, dude, you can't believe how fast this kid is, you know, when he runs.
Yeah.
And I think that was a little bit of, everybody knows he could run. You know, Dable saw it on tape, and Kafka's like, oh, yeah, no, this kid's fast. And then when they were on the field, dude, in front of Daniel, I think they looked at it like, holy crap, this freaking kid could run.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, because you don't really realize it, dude, until he's in front of you how fast Daniel is. Anyway, the point being is that I think they will look at it and go, whoa, wait a minute. This is going to be a bit part of our offense. Yeah. Like Josh Allen has structured draws. Right. Josh, he's a great, you know, Allen's a big boy who can run up in Buffalo, you know. And you're going to see that with Daniel. And you're going to see it inside the 10.
Right.
You're going to see it. I'm telling you. I see what they're doing already. And they look at it like, well, you know what? This is going to be part of our arsenal here because this kid can run. You know what I mean?
That excites the hell out of me because he is very fast, very athletic. The only thing he's got to do is he's got to slide. You cannot.
Yeah, that we know.
And we love the taking on the defensive lineman at the goal line. I mean, come on. Yeah. No, how can you not love that? But just be smart, Daniel. But you're right, Chris. Like, you wonder if a guy like Dable and Kafka look at the film of last year and just say, like, my God, not, aside from the, you know, doing quarterback sneaks inside your own five, the fact that they didn't use his legs enough, you just wonder what they think of that. And I love hearing that, man, because he's a hell of an athlete. They should be using his legs.
And Jerry, what I love about it, and I think really feel it. You're going to see this during the season, you know, is that they will hit. Here's a coaching staff that gets together and they're going to sit there and we'll go, hey, we're going to use every possible option to get that ball in the end zone.
Yeah.
I don't care if we got to call Chris Bisignano from the Giant Insider and get a play in for him. If I feel he could get it in the end zone, give Bisignano the ball. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Not like, oh, we're gonna use three plays. If it doesn't work, they're gonna use every option available. If that means Daniel with design draws, if that whatever option plays, whatever the hell, you saw that with Mahomes too. Right. A little option plays inside the 10. He does that stuff.
Right.
Whatever it's gonna be. If it's gonna be Saquon out of that little wildcat, God bless you, brother.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what you're going to see out of Dable and Kafka. It's like everything is going to be on the table, Jerry. If that means we have to go to Robbinsville, pick up Jerry Foley to throw a pass inside the 10, we go and pick up Jerry Foley and throw a pass.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying, dude?
The only downside to this, and I'm not kidding, if they see Barkley lined up in the shotgun at home, we may get a false start because the crowd's gonna lose their minds. I've said this before, dude. If they just throw a fade pattern to Bellinger, and it's incomplete, they will give a standing ovation because we haven't seen it in so long. So when you see these exotic formations, the crowd's gonna be too noisy. I'm convinced. I'm telling all of you now. Just please be quiet because you're gonna cause a false start. We haven't seen anything like that in years, dude.
And Jerry, there's nobody more knowledgeable than Giants fans.
Right, and I just got goosebumps talking about it.
And the first game against Carolina at home, the first time they entered the red zone, everybody, all 70,000 people are going to be like, well, this is our Achilles heel. We can't get the ball in the end zone. We've been horrible the last 2 years. Yeah. Right, Jerry?
Yeah.
And then, like you said, they punch it in the red, you know. Oh. They come out with a little bit of a different scheme, a little bit of a different look. That Carolina's like, oh, what the hell is this?
Right.
You know. you know what I mean? And it play execution and it play works. And Carolina was, and the people are just, of course, there's nobody more knowledgeable than Giants fans. They're gonna be like, holy crap! The new regime has entered the, like Elvis. You know, the new regime has entered the building. You know what I mean? So, and that's what Giant fans are hoping for. That's what we're all hoping for, dude.
And I the last time I remember that kind of thing happening where it didn't seem like a big deal was 2002 against the 49ers opening night. And we had gone through years of not having a tight end. And Jeremy Shockey, I think, caught like a 4-yard pass and he knocked over a defender. It wasn't a big play. And I remember Giant fans, we all stood up and cheered like they just won the Super Bowl. Yeah. You're going to see stuff like that with Dable, with this offense. I'm telling you right now. And it's going to... I'm getting goosebumps now talking about it because, like you said, Giant fans are knowledgeable, and that feeling inside that stadium is going to be incredible.
Yeah.
And it just shows you how far we're going to come from the last 10 years, dude. Get excited over formations, for God's sake.
Now, Dable and Kafka, they're going to try that. They're going to try it, but now it's just a matter of execution. Now it's just a matter of guys holding their blocks, guys running the right routes, and, of course, Mr. Jones, you know, Daniel.
Right.
You know, with the right throw. So many times, you know, in all fairness to Joe Judge and even Shermer, Jerry.
Yeah.
So many times they had a good play call, but they just couldn't execute. A guy missed a block, right?
Yeah.
How many times I would put it on Twitter Tuesdays. Look at this, you know. The guy just totally whiffs on a block.
The Saquon handoff against Washington. Yeah. That's the one I remember.
I mean, a guy whiffs on blocks.
Yeah. They were like, how could you call that play? And you're like, no, guys, the play was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you got to look at the whole play. So it's all about execution of all 11 guys, you know. So, and that's something that you hope Kafka, I did a little combination here. Kafka and Dable, you know, get together for this team because that red zone is so important, dude. You can't kick field goals and win football games, you know, especially against, you know, good opponents, Jerry. You know, you have to punch the ball in, bro. You can't be 30th, 31st, 32nd, 29th in red zone offense, dude. You're not going to win football games, bro.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
So that's what I'm going to be looking for a lot, Jerry. And I'm hoping that, you know, as the training camp moves along and the preseason games, and, of course, obviously against Tennessee, that red zone offense, man, is much improved.
All right, guys, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Hang on 1 second. And we're back. I'm bringing up Jones. I'm going to ask you, like, do you agree with that? Is that the same theme you're looking at, or are you somewhere else, Chris?
As far as Daniel?
Well, I mean, talking about themes, what you're looking for, right?
Yeah,
Is that like, number one for you as well?
Yeah, yeah. It's like the whole package, Jerry. Yeah, Daniel with this new offense, how they scheme it for him, you know, and all that. That's what I'm looking for, dude. You know, that's what I'm looking for. You know, how this offense is schemed towards Daniel. Obviously, how Daniel's learning this offense. And he's a smart kid. He's going to learn the offense. Now it's just a matter of executing. And what they do, Jerry, you know, with the receivers, how they get guys in space, you know, how they're going to use Kenny Golladay, okay? Even how they're going to use guys like Ricky Seal-Jones, Jerry.
Yeah.
You know, the kid Bellinger, you know, the Wandale. And of course, the guy I talked about last week, and I'm going to continue to talk about, you know, is Kadarius Toney. You know what I mean? So, and how do you use these guys, dude? And Dable wants to get playmakers in space, and that's how you. That's what I'm going to be focusing on, dude. It's going to be great to see. I hope, as Dable's, you know, as the look, the installs are in, Jerry. Yeah. The installs are in.
Right.
Now it's a matter, training camp is going to be a matter of executing the installs. Okay?
Yep.
And we'll see. So, you know, obviously, Jerry, injury is a big part of it. Hopefully, the injuries, you know, will not be a factor for once. Can we get a break 1 year, dude? You know, mm-hmm. where you know, we don't lose a key guy first week. You know, guy misses 4 weeks and all that stuff. You know, so it would be nice too if Daniel had all his weapons healthy for 17 yeah. games. That would be nice too, Jerry. You know,
yeah.
And it'd be nice if the offense, because Jerry, it'd be nice if the offense is functioning well, right? And then in maybe around Halloween or maybe even earlier, it's like you make a trade, you get Shep back.
Yeah.
You know, it's like baseball where you get a guy, like for instance, you know, baseball, like the Red Sox might get Chris Sale back in July. That's like trading for an all-star. You know what I mean, Jerry?
Right,
like
right,
that's
right.
What, so the Giants, you might get Shep back in October.
Right.
And that's like, you know, I'm not saying all-star, all pro. I'm just saying that's a weapon that could be coming back to you in a functioning offense, which is hopefully going to be a functioning offense.
Yeah.
And another weapon for Daniel and more things for Dable and Kafka to do.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So.
And that was my point before. I feel like I'm getting guys back, you know, game one with Barkley and Tony. But yeah, you're right, Chris. It's adding a guy like Shepard who's, when he's healthy, he's reliable at least, you know, and, yeah, that's.
Hey, Jerry, you know, how about September 11th? What do we want to see, dude? I like to see Kenny Galladay, Kadarius Toney, Saquon, you know, all those guys healthy.
Yeah.
Playing at once, bro. How many times did Daniel have healthy receivers last year? One.
One game, I think. Yeah.
And he threw for 300 yards. I mean, I'm not saying that's. I'm not making excuses for Daniel for bad games and stuff. I'm just saying when he had all those weapons, what was it against the Saints, Jerry?
Saints.
And they had, what, 30-something points, whatever the hell it was, and he had 300, right? Yeah. And he really moved the ball well. So, you know what? Could we have all these weapons, dude?
Yeah.
You know, opening game, a healthy guy.
And Barkley ran a pattern down the field in that game, Chris.
Yes, he did, sir. You know, okay, I'm not going to – I was going to bring that up, but, you know,
just
he
FYI,
didn't do that. For a works. Touchdown, if I remember right, right?
It was. When they do it, it works, so.
So, you know, that's the theme I'm looking for, Jerry, like, you know, look. Let's see how this offense progresses. I'm gonna be, you know, and what Dable and Kafka do for Daniel, and this is gonna be a different offense than what you've seen under Jason Garrett and Judge and all that. And folks, and Jerry, you know, look, I know Pat Shurmur was not a head coach in this league, and he'll never be a head coach again. He's not head coach material, but he had a pretty good offensive mind at times.
Yes, he did.
And let's not forget, you know, Daniel had his best year when Pat Shurmur was here. And why am I bringing it up? Because he had a good, and we're hoping that, you know, obviously Dable has a resume. Kafka's coming from Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy school. And we're hoping that these offensive minds gets Daniel to that next level. Because you know what, Jerry? Daniel did a lot of good things his rookie year, bro, with Pat Shurmur.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's what we're hoping for in 2022, man.
And the difference is he doesn't have Betcher on the defensive side. This guy has Wink Martindale, who's light years better. Again, going to be exciting and maddening, but I mean that is such a better hire than a guy like Betcher. Yeah. So,
yeah. Well, here's the difference. And I, the last mini camp I was at, I grabbed a guy, defensive player on the side, and I'm not gonna mention, but I quickly talked about Graham and Wink, and I said, you know, blitzing why, and the player told me, well, look, Patrick is a good football mind. He goes, but he picked his spots as far as attacking. He picked his spots. And that's what the guy told me. You know, this guy, meaning Wink, I said, well, I laughed with this guy. And I said, I gather Wink's not picking his spots, you know. And he said, oh, no. he was like, I think every play is going to be a spot.
Third and 30, send the house.
Right, I mean, that's what you're gonna get. That's what you're gonna get out of this defense. You know, Jerry, there's a few guys. You know, we could flip fields a little bit. Flip sides, I should say, a little bit. And look, right now on this roster, is there a 12, 13 sack guy? No, but I tell you what, bro, with this kid Thibodeau, and I think this kid Thibodeau is going to have a very good rookie year. I really do, dude. I've been watching... Jerry, just an FYI, because I'm a total and complete buffoon. Last week, I said, I wanted to watch more of Thibodeau. You know, and I watched so much of his Oregon film. And I said, holy crap, man. You know, I was like, this kid's good. I just think this kid's going to be a beast for us, dude. I really do. Jerry, you know, a couple other guys. I think I mentioned this before. Keep an eye on Ellison Smith, dude.
Okay.
He's that lanky type guy that Wink loves. Year two, healthy. Keep an eye on this dude, bro. I think this guy, I think this kid's going to really help us. Aziz, I mean, when I saw him this offseason, he looks like he gained 10 pounds of muscle. And let's not forget, he had 8 sacks, right? 8.5, whatever it was, Jerry. His first year. Pretty good for a rookie, right?
Yes.
So you got some guys that are going to be coming off this edge, and you got some kids like Julian and McKinney's and Donnay's and whoever wins the slot, you know, the quarter, guys coming off that slot. So I think the Giants are going to do real well in getting to the quarterback, dude. Even though they don't have an established, you know, 12-sack guy in the roster now, you can't look at a guy and go, okay, well, there's no J.J. Watson. Yeah, we know that. But I think there's enough that they're going to get a lot of heat on opposing quarterbacks.
I was going to say, with the addition of Thibodeau, the threat of him, this defense, how aggressive it'll be, Aziz adding all that muscle, I think he can easily be a 12-sack guy. It's not there yet.
I agree. I agree.
Half last year, but yeah. He's the first one I thought of. Like, oh, you know, man, he might be the biggest beneficiary of Thibodeau coming to this team. And you don't know what Thibodeau is going to do. He could explode or get 6 sacks, whatever. But just the talent and the threat on that side will open things up for our boy Ojulari. And like you said, dude, he looks like a monster right now. My God.
And who was that last name you mentioned, Jerry? Thibodeau?
Thibodeau.
Yeah. Jerry, yeah. I mean, look. Can you right now say it's impossible or no way a kid like Thibodeau is going to get a 10-sack rookie season?
No, not at all. I can't say that.
Nope. He's got that potential, bro.
Yes.
I'm telling you, Jerry, I watched so much film on him. I wanted to see all different things. I looked at him, and mind you, he was playing on a bad wheel, big part of the season.
Yes.
And he had the ankle thing going on.
Yeah.
You know? And I just looked at some things he did on the field, and I was like, man, holy crap. You know, I mean, this kid could be an absolute beast. You know?
We got to remember, in the 2020 season, he was the consensus number one overall pick when he was going to come out. It wasn't until last year where he slipped a bit. He was it was like, no, this is the guy. He's going to be, as long as the team doesn't need a quarterback or somebody doesn't come out, this is going to be the number one pick in the draft. That was the talk for 8 months until, last season. Like you said, he played a bit on a bad wheel, and then there was the concern with he's too interested in off-the-field things. But thanks, everybody. We'll take him at 5. So.
Yeah. You know what? I have a feeling, Jerry, that narrative on this young man about how he's more into his brand, not so sure about football, the nonsense about taking plays off.
Yeah,
I think that's going to really benefit the New York Giants for a long time, bro.
Good.
You know what I mean? I really do. So,
good stuff, buddy. As always, excellent work. Anything else before we get to questions?
No, next week we'll talk about more some things we're going to look for in camp. But that's, it's going to be really an interesting camp with these guys, dude. It really is. And a kid like Thibodeau, I mean, he just creates a buzz, right, Jerry? Yeah. I mean, people are going to go to these training camp practices, and they're going to focus on number 5. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's no question about it. They're going to want to see the new kid, bro.
Yep.
They're going to want to see the new kid, and they want to see him flying around out there, So he's one of those type guys. He's going to create a buzz, Jerry. He's created it already, and he's going to keep creating it.
Yep. Good stuff as always, pal. All right, let's get to some of your questions. Eli, DJ, and the G-Men. Chris kind of answered that about training camp. Let's see. Ryan and Connell. On last week's show, you guys were very bullish on Tony Wandale and Barkley in 2022. For this to happen, Jones will have to put up decent numbers, yet you said you believe the organization will walk away. Do you see it being a tough choice for the Giants? I don't know if
we'll
they're going to walk away.
Whoa, wait a minute. Walk
we
away
said it's
going to
from Jones. I mean, we said it's going to be this
depends
year.
Depends on this year.
Yeah, it depends totally on the year, Ryan. Yeah. I mean, you know, we're guessing. You know, how do we think it's going to play out? Maybe we said something like that, but it's going to come down to how he plays this year. You know, so. Right. Booker Daniels. Oh, I promised him I'd answer this. Then he asked it again, so he knows I see it. From not seeing Top Gun to an appreciation for the one and only Public Enemy, what else would people be surprised and intrigued to know about Jerry Foley, a.k.a. Cool J? I do like that name. I'm going to probably use Cool J going from now on. I don't like condiments, Booker. I don't like ketchup, mustard.
Be careful with that one, Jerry. Make sure you...
I don't like those either. Anyway, oh my
make
God.
Sure
sorry, doctor.
You clarify that, Jerry.
I don't like ketchup, mustard, relish. I don't put anything on my burger. I'm an onion, Booker. There's a lot of layers, buddy. I'm kind. I'm hateful. I mean, there's just so much there. I don't know. You got to have to ask me specific questions, Booker. Those are the ones that come to mind. But there's a lot of movies I haven't seen. Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Animal House. This one's gonna kill Chris. He may pass out. Caddyshack. I've never seen those movies. So, and it was funny because somebody tweeted the other day, if you've never seen them then, if you watch them now, you're not going to enjoy it as much. There's only a few movies that really stand the test of time. It's just the jokes aren't as funny. So I've never seen them, you know? So Booker, there's a lot here, buddy. We'll get more into it as the season goes along, pal.
The condiments reminds me of a line in Rocky II. Have you seen Rocky II?
Yes. Yes.
Do you remember when his boy asked him, "You want to invest in condominiums?" And Rocky said, "I don't use them." That's yes. That whole right there reminded me of that scene.
That's pretty good. Yes. Yes, I do remember that. That is hilarious. Yeah. So, there's a couple things, Booker. But yeah, Booker said, "I can't believe you like Public Enemy." And I tweeted back at him, "Radio. Suckers never play me." Anyway, all right, Chris, Adriana Iafola, Chris. We all know the Pro Bowl is kind of a joke, but when people talk about the players, they always talk about them being Pro Bowlers. Why don't they focus more on something like All Pro, which counts more? Well, that's a layup for you, buddy.
Yeah, well, the real NFL world just focuses on All Pro, but you know, Pro Bowls are part of it. You know, a lot of people. It's basically a lot of it's the popularity, a little bit of a joke. I focus, Adriana, on All Pros, you know. But, you know, Pro Bowls are still there. So you have to say, if the guy makes a Pro Bowl, you got to say, oh, three-time Pro Bowler. You know, me personally, I always look at, okay, well, is he a two-time All Pro? And I mean, that's the cream of it, right? That's the cream of it.
Yeah.
Cream of the cream, you know. So yeah. The guy's the All Pro. But it is what it is. You know, it's not a disgrace to be a Pro Bowler. That's nice too, man. But I focus on All Pros, and that's what guys around the league, you know, they focus on the All Pro stuff.
A couple of really good questions coming up. New York Sport a Fan 199. Chris, you grew up a Giants fan. Now you're a beat reporter for them. You ever just sit back and realize you're in the building talking to the team, and now boys with Carl Banks? Do you ever get caught in the moment?
At first, I did. Who asked that, Jerry? Who asked that question?
New York Sport a Fan. 199.
Oh, okay. Well, Sport a Fan. Look, my first year when I was in a locker room, I was like, holy crap, I'm in a Giant locker room, you know? Yeah. And Odell Beckham was next to me, you know? Guys, I was like, holy crap, you know what I mean? I'm talking to Odell here, you know? Yeah. And Odell's bullshitting me. We're joking about a few things, and he was always, like I've mentioned this 100 times, he was always a great dude in the locker room, Odell. So, yeah, at first it did. Look, it doesn't anymore, but at first, yeah, sure.
I would say urinating next to John Mara is always cool too, right?
Not cool, but it was always interesting. I always wind up next to John. Last year was a little bit off. I think only like out of the 8 home games, I think I only like twice, 2 or 3 times last year with John. I think the year before that was like 7. You know, it was always seemed to be next to each other. But, you know, yeah, just little things like that the first year was, yeah, sure, at times, you know. You know, and I got to be honest with you, you know, my father was a huge Carl Banks fan.
Yeah.
You know, huge. He met him back in 1990 at a function. Mm-hmm. I think I've talked about this before. I took pictures with him, Jumbo, all of them. But I never forget my father telling me what a class act Carl Banks was towards him. You know, what a just they all were. But you know, I remember Carl was like the featured name out of the group that was at this function. He was like, you know, the featured name. And I never forget my father saying what a great guy Carl was, treated him like a gentleman, and he was always one of my father's favorite players. And then getting to know Carl personally, you know, and actually, you know,
yeah,
you know, awesome. Being friends with him, and we talk on the side a lot and all stuff like that, you know, and actually socialize, you know, actually get together with him, and, you know, stuff like that. That to me, Jerry, is moments where like, holy crap, you know, to answer that question a little bit, like that sometimes is like, holy crap, you know, this is, you know, this guy and this guy.
Yeah.
And even when we do Bavaro's, like, you know, Jerry, when we had Bavaro on the podcast, you know, sometimes the things like that, it's like, man, you know, I grew up with this guy. You're like, you know what I mean? And here we are with Joker with him. He's telling us he hated the Niners and shit like that, Jerry.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it hits you like that. But basically, to answer that question best I could, the first year, some of it was like, holy crap, Odell Beckham, I'm bullshitting Odell. You know, and then after that, you know, it became more like, okay, let's do the job here. You know,
so. We enjoyed all the interviews, but I'll say this. That was the only one I was nervous for beforehand. Like, I was
yeah, me too. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Dude, I was. Oh my God, we're talking before. Like,
yeah.
Got to ask some guy. He was couldn't have been nicer, engaging, yeah. But it was like, yeah. Wow, this I got to get. We got to ask him good questions here. This isn't
me. I never forget before we did Mark. Me and Jerry on the side were like, well, we don't know what we're gonna get because Bavaro could be, you know, edgy. Yeah. Bavaro right. could be,
right.
But I mean, look, Jerry. Look, I'm gonna tell a story like it is. You know, Mark told us, Bavaro told us that he reached out to some guys. About us before he went on. And luckily for us, fortunate for us, Jerry, the old players, the guys we've had on a podcast said, no, you go on their show. Trust me, you're going to enjoy it. Which was, Jerry, that made us feel good, right, dude? When Bavaro told us that, you know, and he was, I mean, he was a blast. You know, Mark's the type of guy, if he likes it, he's a blast. If he doesn't, right. he could be a little edgy.
It's going to get uncomfortable. Yeah, I would say, I think I came away from that saying, like, if nothing else in my life, on my tombstone, I could say the 86 Giants vouched. Some of the 86 Giants vouched for me, so I've got that going.
Look,
it was ridiculous.
Look, Jerry, man, I mean, we had a lot of 86 Giants on, and we hope to get a few more on. That, you know, that's the first Super Bowl team, right, dude?
Yeah.
That's the first Super Bowl, obviously, Jerry. You know, you started following the Giants for 81, whatever it was, and we all know, you know, we all know the wilderness years. So that 86 team will always be special to me, dude. Always.
Yep.
The Giants could win the next four Super Bowls. And of course, it'll be special, you know.
Yeah.
But that 86 team, to me, Jerry, personally, because of the crap I had to go through in the wilderness years, that 86 team, I tell Carl that all the time, man. You know, those guys, they were young. They didn't really realize until they got a little bit older. And they were like, wow, what we did for this fan base, you know. And they realized it. I remember Jim Burt, I knew on the side, Jim Burt, and Jim was a great guy, and Jim used to live around the corner for me on Staten Island when he first started off with the Giants. He rented an apartment right around, and they started realizing, like, they didn't realize it at first, a lot of these guys, but then they started like, holy crap, what we did for these fan base, you know, they didn't realize it, you know, what they really did for the fan base, the older idiots like me that went through that crap, you know, in the Pasarchik years and all that shit, Jerry.
Yeah.
You know, so that team, and to have them on, Jerry, the Mark Collinses, we have had the Peppers, we've had the Bavaros, you know, we're fortunate enough to have these guys.
Yeah.
And even, you know, Lenny, right, Lenny?
Yes.
And, of course, you know, guys like that, dude, they'll always be special in our eyes, Jerry. I know I speak for you there, dude, too, you know, and your dad, who's not around anymore, God rest his soul. I'm sure it was special in him, too, bro, you know. So.
Dude, that was I remember being a kid, 11 years old or 12 years old, whatever, 12 years old. And thinking how much that meant to him that first Super Bowl. Like, I saw what he went through on Sundays every year. Like, that Super Bowl meant the most. Like you said, man, that
no
one stands
question,
apart.
Jerry.
Like,
nope.
You know.
Jerry, it's, look, in 90 was great. They were the underdog. They weren't supposed to win that Super Bowl and all that. I get it. It was great. Yeah. But there will never be anything like 86, dude.
Yeah, no.
Never. And I get it. Listen, I get it. The Eli, the 07, heavy underdogs, undefeated Tom Brady and all that. I don't know. I'm not diminishing anything. They're unbelievable victories, right, Jerry?
Right.
Even beating the Patriots again in 11, Eli pulling out the magic, you know, the and all that. But there was nothing like 86, dude. And like I said, Jerry, like to actually speak to these guys and go, and relive some of the moments with them. And even now, Jerry, like, you know, there'd be certain something might pop up in that Buffalo. That Denver game, and I'll be like, "Yo, Carl, what the, you know, what happened?" You know, and he'll explain like something what happened that playoff run. That's like, that's what makes it great, dude. That's some of the special moments, I have to admit. And Bavaro was special, bro. Bavaro was a blast, you know. Yeah. And we might even have him on again. I know Mark will come on again. He will come on again. We might even have him on again because he was one of the fan favorites, man.
So, good segue to the next question. Big Blue at Luis underscore Big Blue. In the early 80s, when did you start to believe the Giants turned the corner and had the foundation of a championship team? For me, home game in 84 when they dominated the two-time defending champ Redskins. Thanks for all you guys do. For me, same year, week two, Dallas. 28-7, I believe. Andy Hedden.
28-7. Yep.
Andy Hedden had a long touchdown fumble recovery because LT murdered Gary Hogaboom. Byron Williams had a touchdown. I think Moat had one. I mean, for me, it was like beating Dallas like that. And again, as a kid, now I'm way younger at that point, 9 years old, understanding what Dallas meant and how good they were and how much my father hated them because they were so good. Yeah. Beating them like that, I thought, oh, all right, now are we there yet? Have we arrived? So that's it for me.
Jerry, I agree with you 100%, bro. That 84, I don't know if it was that game for me. I don't remember that specifically. I remember that win, actually, though. But that season, Jerry, that season, when you saw what they had on the roster, right?
Yep.
And they drafted Carl that year. Obviously, Lawrence, right? Jerry, and you saw the nucleus of that team. Phil's coming into his own, right?
Yeah.
And you said, oh, we got something. Obviously, no free agency. They couldn't tear the team apart. Couldn't lose guys.
Right.
You know, which obviously was huge, you know? So... And you saw the nucleus, Jerry, and after the 84 loss to the 49ers, Jerry, in the playoffs, you got smoked?
Yeah, 21-10.
Right, okay.
But it still felt like...
Oh, 81 we got smoked by the Niners. 81 we got smoked.
Yeah, that was
right?
Like a 37.
I'm sorry. No, we didn't get smoked. We didn't get smoked. We lost to them. Right?
Yeah.
84 we lose. And I said, well, we got something here. I think we could do something with this nucleus. And they did. You know, so... And they did. Yep.
Good stuff. We'll do a few more. Here's a good one from Chris, no longer in St. Pete. What player were you very high on when the Giants acquired him that turned out to be a huge bust? So I'll go by free agency. For me, the one I was high on that just did nothing. Maybe, if I had to think about it, maybe there's another one, but Brandon Marshall just sticks in my head. Like, I mean, he just had nothing left when we got him. I was expecting way more. And it was after the... You know, it was after a season where we went to the playoffs and we added Brandon Marshall, and he just had nothing left.
Yeah. Who was somebody we drafted?
Well, he said, who did we sign? You can go with draft. I went by
signed. Or signed via free agency.
You can go draft. Yeah. You can go anybody.
That we're really high on? Oh, man. I don't know. I have to think about that one, man.
Yeah, it's tough.
Unfortunately, there's a... You know what, Jerry? I mean... I remember when he drafted Eric Williams, man, and I thought we were getting this all-world tackle. Remember, Jerry? The way they were talking about him? Eric Williams. Who am I missing?
Eric Williams, the nose tackle?
Oh, I'm sorry. Eric, the offensive tackle, Coughlin's guy.
Oh, Eric Flowers.
Eric Flowers. What I'm sorry, folks.
Sorry,
I'm bearing names. Eric Flowers. Thank you, Jerry. Yeah. Eric Flowers. When we I mean, I thought the way when he talked about this kid, I thought we were getting Anthony Munoz, remember?
Yeah.
And right off the bat, I was like, whoa, what the hell? You know, that was a huge disappointment to me, man, because the way Coughlin talked about him, the way Reese, I thought, what the hell we were getting, you know? So, I'm sure there's many, man. I have to think about it.
Godfather of Brooklyn. Chris, my man, still waiting on the dish recommendations. What, in your eyes, would constitute a successful season this year? Hashtag Buffoon Crew, hashtag Paizan.
A successful season?
Yeah.
A 7-8 win season.
There you go. Same.
You know? A 7-8 win season. But, you know, I think people will be focused on 2023 if that happens, bro.
Chris at Albany, New York Football. Giants Super Bowl matchup, 90 Giants versus 07 Giants. Who do you got and why? Keep in mind, Eli versus Belichick history. For me, I give Parcells the nod over Coughlin.
Yeah,
I would go with the 90 Giants.
I would go with the 90 Giants. The 90 Giants were real good. Let's not forget, they were 13-3.
Yeah, right. And they were 10-0 at the start of that season.
They were, the 90 Giants were real good. Real good. It just so happened, you know, they played a Buffalo team that was unbelievable that year, and they also won the championship game that year.
Yeah.
Like 51-3 or something like that. And people were this offense can't be stopped and all. Remember that?
Right.
And, the 90 Giants had a ton of talent, man. I would go with the 90 Giants.
I remember as a junior in high school, an Eagle fan in front of me, sat in front of me, turned around and said, "You're not beating Buffalo." I never forgot that. Ha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There
you go, Booker. There you go, Booker. I'm a lot like George Costanza in that way, too. I remember things and just thinking about that stuff the rest of my life. Sorry. Go ahead, Chris.
You know, and the guy mentioned, you know, let's not forget Eli and the Belichick. Well, let's not also forget that it wasn't like Eli and the offense put 35 points on the board against Belichick and the team. Right. They won 21-17 and, you know, and 17-14, too. So
Good point.
The defense was the big story of those two Super Bowls, too. So, yeah, I would go with the 90 Giants there.
We'll go two more here. Agent X, over under. Funny, we talked about this. So I'm going to ask you, over under, Aziz gets 9.5 sacks in 2022.
That's a good question. I'm going to go over. I'm going to say 10 right there.
12.
Slightly over.
I'm saying 12. Boom.
There you go.
Last one. From Love NYG, New York Rangers, New York Yankees. Oh, that you sound like an awesome human being, whoever you are. M. Drake 331. You've got life perfectly nailed in sports, buddy. Or woman. I don't know. I can't tell. I can't see. So
probably,
whoever you are.
Probably a Red Sox guy, too.
From Brooklyn, New York.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Yankees and Rangers, you said?
Yankees, Rangers, Giants. The quintessential New York fan, baby.
There you go.
All right, Chris, I'll ask you. Who impressed you the most during OTA / minicamp?
Wandale Robinson.
Okay, good. Nice. All right. Good stuff, buddy. Hell of a question. Guys, way to bring the questions in a very dead time of year. Appreciate it. Nice job by all of you guys out there.
Yep.
All right, buddy. Anything else you want to add before we talk to him next week?
Nope. We'll see you next week as we get closer to training camp.
Good stuff.
And there's something else. What the hell did I want to mention to you? I forgot what the hell it is now. But we'll talk soon, man. Training camp previews, bro. You know, training camp previews.
Can't
you
wait.
Believe Jerry, you believe the 4th of July is like right around the corner?
No, it's insane.
It's insane. Yeah. So.
It's crazy. Today's the 24th. Everything's gonna be here. Then training camp, and then that's it. Then we go back to 2 days a week starting September. So,
it really, Jerry, it really hit me today when I got the training camp schedule. I was like, holy crap! You know, Dable looks like a 10 o'clock in the morning guy, which is a nice time, dude. You know, for training camp practice. Because I'll get home in the afternoon. I can still make a tea time if I have to, you know? So
someone else, I should have asked you this. Someone else asked the question. I apologize. I don't remember the name. I put my phone
Jim away. Fazzle. Oh, remind me of Jim Fazzle story. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. We'll go to that. But real quick, if you could travel to any golf course, Chris, and play anywhere, where would you play?
Oh, Augusta.
Okay. Someone asked that. I apologize, dude, whoever asked. Augusta. I put my phone away.
And I tell you what, that course last week, man, up in Massachusetts in Brookline at the Country Club. Holy crap. I mean, that's why there's only 9 guys on the par. I don't know how the hell you play that course. I mean, that is, woof. There was some holes in that course. I was looking like, you don't even see the fairways. You don't see the green. You got to hit over a rock. If you go right, it's into the rocks. Man, I was talking to some guys that have been around a long time following golf. Bob Sagendorf, our guy Sagendorf, who actually produced and covered these events, man. And we were talking about that golf course and some of the other ones, man. And we were like, holy crap. But Augusta, Jerry, because that's just so famous, dude.
Yeah.
You know, that's just so famous. You know?
So what do you got with Jim Vassell?
But Jim Vassell, Emmy award winning, right?
Yes.
Not nominated, winning, right?
No, he was nominated now, then he won, yes.
Then he won, so okay. Yes. All right, so I'm right. Jim Vassell, Emmy award winning journalist, reporter, right? Good dude, big time Giants fan, huge. I mean, just a rabid Giants fan. Reaches out. And we're going to do some 18 holes together, and we're going to talk a little football. And Jim says, so Jim, I know you're listening. Like, I text you, Jim. Just give me a couple of weeks. I'm actually got about 5,000 tee times in the next 2 weeks. But, Jimmy, after the 4th, we are going to hook up, do a little 18 down by you or wherever the hell we're going to meet up. So Jerry, I'm like playing golf with royalty here, Jimmy Vassell, man.
And is Giant Golfer going with him? Dan, his cousin?
I don't know if Dan's going. His cousin Dan's going with him. But Dan reached out to me.
Dan's a scratch golfer.
Yeah, no, I don't know, but Dan's busy though. I'm not quite sure. Dan works a lot. Dan's phenomenal. Yeah, I know. You told me. But Dan did reach out to me and for his cousin Jimmy and Jim. Looking forward to it, buddy. I know you're going to listen hopefully to the podcast. I know you listen every week. And bring your A game, buddy. No, I'm only kidding. So
real quick, I'll give you a golf story. So we played in a foursome years ago. My father, my buddy Matt, Dan Vassell, and me, and it was best ball. So I'll play best ball because if I hit one in the fairway, I'm like, all right, we can use that. Cool, great. I'm done for today. So Dan would say to us, just hit it in the fairway. I'm going to go for the hole. I guess like the dog legs. So we all blast him this way, and he's like, don't give me much choice. I guess I got to go on the fairway now. Thanks, guys. But we got in the car after a few holes, and I looked at my dad and I said, and my dad was in his 70s at the time. I said, what do you think? And he goes, oh my God, this kid's phenomenal. this kid blasts the ball on a perfect line. So,
actually looking forward. We're going to try to hook up to Dan. But he's very busy with his kids, baseball, and he works. But we're going to try to hook that up before camp. But even during camp, there's breaks during camp too and stuff like that. So we'll hook that up with the Vassells. But Jimmy, I know you're listening, dude. We'll hook that up in a couple weeks. And you could tell me how you're maybe you could bring your Emmy. We'll put it in the cart. We'll drive around with the Emmy in the cart.
You should play him for his Emmy.
Play it for Jimmy. No, I'll go. Play for your Emmy, buddy.
Nice. Good stuff. All right, guys. To order a subscription to The Giant Insider, go to www.thegiantinsider.com and go to magster.com for a digital subscription. All right, guys. Remember, Sundays are Giant days, baby. Take care, everybody.
All right, enjoy.